When she first went to Iraq, she was the 50 caliber gunner and the convoy field mechanic, and she got into Mosul, and she thought, well, I'm going to act as if this is my family. And she started befriending people and shopping in the local market. The other soldiers just couldn't understand her. And she would bring food to widows and have them cook for her. And she saw the scars that Saddam Hussein had left on the people, particularly up in the north, which Mosul is close to Kurdistan. And so she at first said, you know, this country will be better off. But within 3 weeks of their arrival, things started to deteriorate because her unit was attached to the 101st Airborne. And those guys, they were not trained to be nation builders. And the mix of the National Guard troops and those professional soldiers was not good at all. And it wasn't good for the people of Mosul either. And we know the rest. It spiraled into chaos quickly. And shortly, she wasn't able to shop in the market anymore. And then she wasn't able to go out and meet with her friends anymore. And she saw the rubble, the mess that was left of Mosul, a town that had many million people when they first got there. And it's agonizing to her to think of what's happened to the people that she befriended. You know, as a mother, you raise your children to respect life and to be kind to people. And you have hopes for your children. And you always think you're prepared to accept anything they do, even up into murder or whatever, because they're your children and you love them and you can never actually turn away from them, no matter what they do. Before my daughter left for Iraq, I said, no matter what happens there, you always just keep talking to me and I will always love you no matter what, because I trust you to make the right judgment in the moment that you're in. And one night she called me in the middle of the night and she was just weeping and she was out there in the middle of the desert. And she said, Mom, I'm never going to be able to come home. I am never going to be able to live a normal life again. I cannot live anymore. I just can never come back. My heart just sunk and I thought, oh my God, what's happened? What's happened? And she said, Mom, she said, I killed a 12-year-old boy today. She said, I looked in his eyes when he was dying. She said he was just trying to protect his family. She said, I was just so scared. And she said, what am I going to do? How can I ever come home again? And I just begged her. I said, you just get back here. I said, we're going to make everything okay. You just get back here. And I just despaired because I thought, now this is part of who she is and we will never, ever, ever be able to go back. And she's going to be there longer. The war is intensifying, and she's going to kill other people. I was so angry and so upset that my daughter had been taken away from me, taken away for real, that she was never coming back, even if she came back, that would not be her. So she did come back. But she didn't come back as her. So after that fateful phone call, I just continued to encourage her, please, please, you know, everything's going to be okay. And you did what you had to do at the moment, and it doesn't make you bad. And in November of 2004, she was shot down in a helicopter close to Mosul, and she was injured. But her sergeant didn't believe that she was hurt, and he kept her in combat for 2 more months until an officer saw her limping and forced them to send her to the hospital for x-rays. And it turned out that she had a shattered leg, and it had been that way for 2 months, and that they probably wouldn't be able to repair it. And so they medevaced her out to first Germany and then the United States. And when they did a pre-op screening on her, she found out that she had been pregnant in combat for 3.5 months. They didn't tell the female soldiers that the anti-malarial drugs made their birth control fail. So they told my daughter, well, you're going to have an abortion because You know, we can't operate on you like this, and if we let the leg go, it'll just be messed up forever. And she said, I've killed enough people, and I'm not killing another soul. And so, of course, they were very worried because my daughter had been exposed to depleted uranium and exposed to anthrax shots and oil fires and a number of other toxins. And so they did all these tests on the baby, on the fetus, and they thought that everything was okay. And she had the baby on August 5th, and he's beautiful and gorgeous. And until he was about a year old, and I noticed he wasn't talking, and I said, there's something wrong. Apparently he has something so rare that they really haven't seen it before. He is unable to use language in any form, written, sign, or verbal, and we have no idea at all how he processes things. So he's our gift from the war, really, because he is the way that my daughter has come to terms with the things that she did and saw in Iraq. She was suicidal when she came back, and until she realized that she was pregnant, I could see she was gonna go downhill. So by raising this lovely child, she is atoning, and it has saved her life.